You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thank you for your constant support. You help keep independent community radio alive.
Host Cam Wells.
In this segment of our show, Hafsa Amar will be telling us a little bit about her work with Smile. So what's the latest with Smile?
So Smile, we are having a really exciting time right now. We've been having some events during the summer, but the most exciting part is our 10th annual Rec Fest is coming up.
So for those who might not be familiar with Smile as an organization, can you take me through a little of the work you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Smile, what we are is we are an organization that is dedicated to supporting families of children and youth with disabilities across Canada. Currently, we support more than 1,400 different families, and what we do is we try our best to create spaces where children can thrive, where families feel supported and communities can become more inclusive. And the way we do this is we do this through culturally responsive programs, advocacy, financial assistance, and service navigation. Basically, what we do is we work alongside families, specifically new immigrants and refugee families who are looking to access some more support. We provide services and help them navigate services in Urdu, Arabic, Farsi, Dari, and Somali. And our overall goal is to just ensure that every child has the opportunity to simply be a kid.
So how do you reach out to folks who could potentially benefit from having that extra support?
Yeah, that's a great question. What we do to reach out is we do a lot of events in the community. We try our best to be at as many events as possible. But if anybody is interested in the work we do and interested in getting involved, the best thing to do would be to follow our social media. So that is Smile Canada on Instagram. And you can also check out our website, that is smilecan.org. And there we have lots of information about our programs, the work we do, but then also ways for you to get in contact with us.
So with this being the 10th anniversary of Rec Fest, do you have something special in mind for what you're going to be delivering this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, for those who aren't very familiar about what Rec Fest is Rec Fest is an annual inclusive community celebration where children and youth with disabilities, their families, and friends can come together for sports, activities, entertainment, food, and community connection in a supportive and accessible environment. The way we're trying to make this one special is we're just trying to celebrate the diversity of all of our clients and the families we support by really trying to embrace the multiculturalism. We have some really exciting activities planned, and we're also looking for sponsors to help us be able to pull off this event and to be able to make it an extra special 10th anniversary. So if you're a business, a small business, or an organization that's dedicated to supporting kids with disabilities, Rec Fest is definitely for you.
So in your time with Smile, Is there any success moment or story that stands out for you you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So as an employee of Smile, I am still relatively new. I've been here for about 4 months now, and it's been amazing. I am specifically a program coordinator. So what I do is I am one of the ones responsible for planning and organizing all these programs and events. And just last month, just last month, at the beginning of June, what we did is we hosted an ice cream social in Whitby. So that's for our families in the Durham region. And that was actually the first event that we've ever hosted in Durham region for those families. And so the day of being able to be there and interact with our families face-to-face and just see how much having fun events for their children and for their families meant to them was something that was really special. I got a lot of amazing feedback from the parents there, and they were asking us to do more events like this. And basically what we did for the ice cream social is we had our families and their friends come out and be able to enjoy an afternoon, and we provided them with free ice cream sponsored by Smile. We worked with an ice cream shop to be able to give them some free ice cream, and they had a lot of community connection. There were caregivers who got to know each other and form connections that way. The kids had a lot of fun coming out on a day where the weather was nice, getting their ice cream, and then also being able to play and enjoy the outside. And so for me, I think that was a memory that I will always hold very fondly.
So what are the next immediate steps for Smile?
So the next step for Smile is we are actually looking to increase our capabilities and expand across Canada. So we are looking to open Smile chapters in both Alberta and Quebec. We have started doing this by hosting some preliminary events. So in May, we hosted a brunch for moms with disabilities in Montreal, and that was great. We got a feel for the community in Montreal and found out that there is a real interest in expanding Smile services in Quebec. And in May, we also did host our first ever event in Alberta. We did a sensory-friendly movie night where families in Fort McMurray, Alberta, were able to come out and enjoy an afternoon where they had a sensory-friendly movie experience. And we also found there that there is such a need for Smile to expand in communities outside of the GTA and Toronto, as well as Ontario. And so that's kind of what Smile is up to right now, is we're working on a strategy to figure out how we can expand across the country and help support even more families.
So when you say a sensory-friendly movie night, could you tell me a little bit about what was involved in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the space, we reduced capacity. So where there were about 40 people in the theater. So having less people made the experience more enjoyable because children had the space to move around if they needed. Families could take up extra space and without feeling crowded or overwhelmed. As well, what we did is we had the lighting adjusted at about a dim setting, so it wasn't super dark or super bright. It was at a very comfortable level for everybody. We also made sure that the sound wasn't too loud. We provided other sensory equipment such as sensory-friendly headphones. We had fidget toys and encouraged families to bring other like toys and devices that would help their children be comfortable. So really the overall goal of the sensory-friendly movie night and what made it sensory-friendly was creating a inclusive and warm environment for kids to be as they are and not have to worry about being in a crowded space with a lot of noise and a super dark environment.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this segment of our show, Nicole Frisbee will be giving us an update on her disabilities ministry work.
So what's the latest with your disabilities ministry work?
Well, as I said, God is on the move. The latest is that we just hired a new program coordinator, Kendra Muller, and she has a wonderful 10-year background in the field and actually worked as a recreational therapist, and she comes highly recommended and is revamping the entire programming to be more inclusive and more robust and even to create roles for our individuals so that they can grow into mentor roles.
So that raises an interesting question. What are some of the key considerations in creating a disabilities ministry? I mean, you said you wanted it to be more inclusive. What sorts of areas should one look at in putting something together?
Well, for us, as you know, I am kind of new to the field, but some things that I've identified was that a person might assume that just because we are a disability ministry that we are inclusive, and it's not always, of course, intentionally that that would happen, but one example is that some of our individuals want to be a mentor at camp. Well, how do you tell one person that they have the ability to do so and another person that they don't based on what their abilities are? Because we want to empower everyone. So that has been a challenge and something that I've identified that maybe people should look at when they're starting something new, how to have things in place to make it possible for everyone to grow into any role that they want to empower them.
So in other words, look at what they can serve at. Say, you might not be able to serve in this way, but perhaps there's an opening that, for something you could do, sort of geared
Absolutely.
To ability.
That's what we're doing right now, is interviewing all of our individuals to find out what their goals are and what their areas of ability are and how we can really help them grow in the direction that they want at any level in any way that they desire.
So it brings to mind one of the great disabilities philosophies that nothing can be fully accessible because accessibility is a different definition to everyone.
Agreed.
So what would the ideal outcome of revamping the program be? What would be something you'd love to be able to offer congregants in the ministry?
You know, the thing on my mind is to make sure that there is absolutely room for everyone. In the past, because of the way we started out, there wasn't the support as far as background and education and training to be able to allow out everyone at every level. And now that we have that, we are opening our doors. So even if there are some behavioral setbacks or things of that nature, or, you know, different accessibilities, we now are equipped and are training for that, and as far as just our staff and our mentors, so that everyone can be accepted and everyone can grow. And we also want to make sure that our educational training can span across all levels as well. But the biggest one we're focused on is transportation. We're working on that.
So do you think there's any possibility that being in community for these folks with disabilities might get them thinking about taking on some mentoring or volunteering areas that they hadn't considered? That it might, they might hear from someone says, you might want to try this and discover a whole new set of abilities within themselves.
Absolutely. In fact, I believe that's already happening. Everyone is quite excited about these updates and already coming forward, and we have new individuals coming in because of those referrals from our current friends.
So what are the next immediate steps forward?
Next immediate steps is finishing. We've got the designing done. Now we are implementing training. I just left a prerequisite meeting to talk to all of our guardians and mentors about that training and what that's going to look like so that everybody can be on board and equipped, and then we roll out the program.
So I'm guessing the training itself will include the possibility of refreshers. I mean, it's not just a one-and-done sort of arrangement.
Absolutely. It is going to begin with monthly meetings and then quarterly trainings. And by assessing what the needs are, we will then identify if we need to have monthly refreshers. Because some of those things are going to be CPR trainings, but a lot of it's going to be educational based on different levels, and which will also change based on what our individuals need and who we have participating. So training will never end, it will be constant. We're excited about that.
So what might be an interesting approach is actually doing sort of drills, sort of a simulated scenario.
Absolutely. We just talked about doing some role play.
So how do the congregants feel about being respected enough to actually understand that you're taking into consideration their needs and their right to be included and just be a part of the congregation?
Everyone seems so excited and just renewed and refreshed, and the growth is taking off. It was a wonderful place before, but now it's just a flutter with excitement and definitely the Lord's presence.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health or addiction, consider registering to the new REACT program launched by Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative. REACT is a 90-day program committed to understanding your story and supporting your journey to healthy and long-term healing. All sessions are online and completely free, running weekdays from 9 a.m. until noon. Visit reactwindsor.ca and instantly be connected to a safe and supportive community. That's reactwindsor.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we got an update on Smile Canada from Hafsa Omar, and Nicole Frisbee gave us a look at her latest disability ministry work. In this segment of our show, we'll hear about Everyone Rides. So if you could introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about the Adaptive Bike Program, that'd be great.
Yeah, my name is Meredith. I'm a community engagement manager with Hamilton Bike Share, which is sort of the parent organization that my job, Everyone Rides Initiative, is a part of. Hamilton Bike Share is a bike share system for the city of Hamilton in Ontario. We've been around since 2015. And since day one, the Everyone Rides Initiative has been a part of Hamilton Bike Share. It's like the equity-seeking branch of the organization. So initially it started with the focus on sharing subsidized bike share memberships and creating better access for people who have financial barriers to using the bike share system. So it started with that seed, and then over the past 11 or so years, that program has grown, and so the adaptive program has come out of it. And so our adaptive bike program was established in 2022, and it started out with a partnership with one of our big city parks in Hamilton, Gage Park. The city of Hamilton allowed us to put down a shipping container bike shop, basically. So we have this sea can sitting in the park. It's been painted with beautiful murals. And from April to November, you could go there and find an adaptive bike and sign up online for a free appointment and go for a ride. So we started the program in 2022 with that first hub. And then in 2024, we expanded and put a second adaptive hub in Bayfront Park, which is another big and beautiful park in downtown Hamilton. So now we have two locations. We've got 18 bikes spread across our two hubs. and the program continues to be completely free. So how it kind of works now is that you can either give us a call or an email, or you can go onto our website and book an appointment through our online booking calendar, and then you just show up, take your bike out for a ride, enjoy some fresh air and sunshine, and that's pretty much it. We've placed our hubs in city parks that have, like, paved car-free trails, so it's really enjoyable, it's very safe, you're sharing the trail with other, like, cyclists and pedestrians, you never have to worry about a car coming up behind you. Yeah, like, that's kind of what it looks like to use our program now. And we're always trying to kind of like grow and share it with other people. So one thing we're looking at this year is doing a mobile version of our adaptive program where we got a new van for bike share, a nice big truck that can fit like 3 or 4 adaptive bikes in it. So we're going to be piloting some potential like pop-up adaptive programs where maybe we take these bikes to a city park that doesn't usually, you know, see a program like this, and people can kind of try it on the spot, and if they like it, then it's a way to share with them about the program and say, hey, if you want to come down to one of these other parks, we're doing this all the time. That's kind of a quick overview of it.
So I'm curious about the adaptations themselves. So how do you make it workable for someone with a disability to get on there and actually be out there riding?
Yes, yeah, so the fleet of adaptive bikes we have, we've got a range, and we're always looking to make each bike even more adaptable, but we have upright trikes, recumbent tricycles, we have hand cycles, we have a couple tandems. So depending on your mobility needs, if you need to ride with a support person or a caregiver, or if you're riding independently, we try to have something for everyone. And then we also have some kind of adaptive elements that we can add on. We have heel support pedals, calf support pedals. Some of our bikes have a caregiver brake, so if someone wants to ride but they need a little guidance to help with braking, someone can walk alongside and assist them in that way. So yeah, we're always looking for more ways to make the bikes that we have like work for more people. And as we've grown year to year, we have added a few bikes here and there. So we're always kind of trying to keep an eye out for what do we not have in our fleet, what would be really handy for someone. And a lot of our users who come to the ABH, just depending on their life experiences, it's so great of them to share with us like what works for them, because that just gives us insight on to what we can add to the program next year, maybe.
So what are some of the key benefits for a rider with a disability to actually be able to be out there cycling and fully participating?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten a lot of feedback that it is just really liberating. I mean, it's wonderful for your physical health. It's really wonderful for your mental health. I think there's an element that just, it's freeing, and it kind of gives you this sense of, like, playing again. Sometimes I think it can be hard to just find the joy in things if you're always, just working to find adaptations. And feel like maybe you don't have the same access to programs that like your friends or loved ones do, and accessing nature is so important, especially for living downtown in a city like Hamilton. It's very urban. We have a big steel industry. Sometimes it can feel tough, like, to get out and really like enjoy yourself in nature, because you know you're downtown in a big city. So the fact that we can offer a program where people can actually come and enjoy some of our beautiful city parks, get out into some green space, be by the water, and just have that independent movement, it really seems to mean a lot to people.
So, in your time with the Adapted program, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you you'd like to share?
Ooh, that's a good one. We have had multiple stories that I'm so thankful for, where people come to us and use the program, and it's their first time riding a bike in decades, or maybe ever. pardon me. Yeah, we've had multiple people who, just due to like aging or recovering from an injury, just didn't think that they would ever get on a bike again, and kind of had, you know, felt a little resigned to just not being able to move and enjoy movement as they used to, and just seeing them get on a bike and going out with friends, like, people bring loved ones, they bring family members, they bring friends, and the fact that, like, anyone can enjoy this program, like, we want it to be, first and foremost, accessible for folks who have adaptive needs, but, you know, you can bring a loved one along, and it's really enjoyable for everyone. I think that's part of it as well, is just, like, seeing the joy and the liberation that it brings for folks who maybe thought they weren't going to be able to enjoy a bike, and then also opening up the eyes of people who are able-bodied and kind of tend to think like, oh, that's not for me, I don't need that. But then once they actually ride an adaptive bike and go with a loved one who needs it, they see, oh, this is actually really fun and really cool, and this opens up my eyes to the possibilities of movement and recreation. Like, as I age, maybe I'll need one of these. Pardon me, drink some water. I think it opens the eyes of folks who would consider themselves like, oh, I don't need to use a program like that. But then once they see for themselves like how fun it is and how much sense it makes, it just makes them excited about it too. And that's something we want to see as well. Like, we don't want there to just be this idea that like, oh, it's for people with a disability, it's for people who are different, it's not for me. It's like, no, this benefits anyone and everyone. And the more people that we can get on board with it, see the value of it, I think it'll help them think, like, what else in my neighborhood could be improved with some accessibility measures put in, you know? Like, it gets them thinking about it from a different perspective, and I really like to see that as well. So it's kind of like a twofold reflection that I've come away with, but first and foremost, I mean, seeing someone ride a bike who hasn't ridden in years and just, like, hearing them laugh, hearing them explain about it, it's a real shot in the arm, you know, it's really wonderful.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
For sure.
Not gonna lie, my friends, I love events like RecFest and Disability Ministry Camps, for they give a unique opportunity for individuals with disabilities to be out there in the community, just doing something fun, like anyone else would want to. No matter where you come from, your background, the way you see, the way you hear, the way you think, what have you, no one should be denied inclusion based on a disability or any other singular factor in their life. Persons should always be allowed to engage with the community in a way that's both fun and engaging for them. Tragedy comes in, my friends, when we forget that those who might not have as much income or as much stability, they're entitled to these things as well. It's easy to overlook a problem if it's not something we think affects us directly. The truth is, we're a united community. If it affects one person, it's too many. And it becomes something we should all care about. The truth is, giving an opportunity for anyone with a disability to engage and to be present in the community builds that bridge of understanding. It's a starting place to get those of us not affected directly, or those who think we aren't, to ask those questions. Should I be doing more? Is there a way to help those who might be a little different from me? Is there something I can do to make the world a better place? It starts with a question, my friends. It starts with the understanding that our needs are not the only needs. That people can come together, forge friendships, forge business relationships, what have you, by simply talking to and engaging with individuals with disabilities and any other group in society. I've always said it, homogenized circles may be comfortable. Past a certain point, they really do make you dizzy. You never expand in your thinking unless you take the time to look beyond the obvious, to look beyond what's directly in your circle. When you do that, your life becomes so much more enriched. When you take the time just to ask a question, these people might move a little differently, see a little differently, hear a little differently, think a little differently. But what can I learn from this? How can I grow by having such a person in my life? How can they grow by having me in theirs? This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
Do you know what your local wetland has done for you lately? Wetlands function like nature's kidneys, mitigating the impacts of floods and droughts, protecting our communities, and supporting food production. Despite representing 6% of the Earth's surface, wetlands store 33% of the planet's carbon. If you value life, thank a wetland. Learn about wetlands at work with Ducks Unlimited.